We are deeply worried that many girls may not be allowed back into school.
Taliban seeks UN audience. It's Friday, September 24th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Biden hosts COVID-19 summit. Thailand ramps up vaccinations. Helping women and children in need. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Afghanistan's Taliban leaders have asked to have their representatives speak to the United Nations General Assembly this week, as other world leaders call on the Taliban to grant equal rights and opportunities to girls and women. VOA's senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports.
Now back in charge in Afghanistan, Taliban leaders are trying to present a sense of normalcy. Here, heavily armed Taliban fighters and their families walked around the zoo in Kabul on a recent outing. Taliban leaders have asked to address the UN General Assembly this week and named spokesman Suhail Shaheen as their representative. The UN said a committee will rule on the request, but that is not likely to happen during the current session. In a recent interview with VOA, Shaheen said the Taliban and the U.S. were adversaries during the war, as he put it, when our country was occupied, but said things could be different now.
Now we are in a new chapter. We want to turn over a new page. In that page, it depends on the U.S., whether they are coming for work to help in the construction of Afghanistan, in eradication of poverty in the country, help us in other sectors like education sector, infrastructure, and if they want to come and invest in the country, so they are welcome.
Afghanistan's current ambassador to the UN, Ghulam Izakai, was appointed in July by the former government of President Ashraf Ghani and continues to speak out on social media against the Taliban. U.S. President Joe Biden addressed the UN General Assembly.
We've ended 20 years of conflict in Afghanistan. And as we close this period of relentless war, we're opening a new era of relentless diplomacy, of using the power of our development aid to invest in new ways of lifting people up around the world, of renewing and defending democracy.
The Emir of Qatar, Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani.
We stress the importance of the international community continuing to provide support to Afghanistan at this critical stage and to separate humanitarian aid from political differences. We also stress the importance of continuing dialogue with the Taliban, because boycotting only leads to polarization and reactions. As for dialogue, it can bring positive results.
In a UN forum on Afghan women, the executive director of UNICEF had a message for Taliban leaders. Henrietta Four is the UNICEF executive director.
It is critically important that girls and boys in Afghanistan have an equal chance to learn and to develop the skills they need to thrive. We are deeply worried that many girls may not be allowed back into school.
The Taliban have said a religious scholar will decide on how girls will be able to attend school under Islamic law, known as Sharia, as soon as possible. The Taliban ordered boys back to school this week, but made no mention of allowing girls or women teachers to return to class. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Australia plans to reopen international borders by Christmas. U.S. and China unveil separate big steps to fight climate change. U.S. and European allies navigate Australian submarine deal's wake. Manila mayor launches campaign for Philippine presidency. At UN, climate and COVID top leaders' concerns. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. You're listening to VOA Asia on this Friday. U.S. President Joe Biden convened a virtual COVID-19 summit Wednesday on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly, aiming to rally world leaders, philanthropists, civil society, non-governmental organizations, and industry to defeat the virus by the end of 2022. He also announced an additional donation of 500 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine. White House Bureau Chief Patsy Wiedekuswara has more.
Let's recommit in the fight to end the pandemic. That's the message that U.S. President Joe Biden sent to world leaders at the virtual COVID-19 summit he convened on Wednesday. He announced donating 500 million more doses of the Pfizer vaccine, increasing the total U.S. pledge to 1.1 billion doses.
For every one shot we've administered to date in America, we have now committed to do three shots to the rest of the world.
It's not clear when these shots will be delivered. About 200 million doses from the initial 500 million pledge Biden announced in June will ship by end of 2021, 300 million by mid-2022. Biden also announced an additional $750 million to get those shots in arms around the world and $1.4 billion to reduce COVID-19 deaths and transmission. Humanitarian organizations welcome more vaccines, but say wealthy nations cannot donate their way out of the pandemic. Kate Elder is Senior Vaccines Policy Advisor for Doctors Without Borders Access Campaign.
We've already seen hundreds of millions of doses pledged by wealthy governments, similar to the United States, other countries in Europe, with a pretty poor delivery rate so far. So we need doses in arms right now.
Biden also called on leaders to address a worldwide shortage of oxygen for COVID patients and to make tests, PPE, and therapeutics more available. Another key target, preparing for and preventing future pandemics. The U.S. is calling for the creation of a financial intermediary fund for pandemic preparedness at the World Bank. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris.
We, the United States, are prepared to contribute at least $250 million to help get this fund started. We have also requested an additional $850 million from the United States Congress.
According to Doctors Without Borders, fewer than 2% of people in developing countries have received even a single dose of COVID vaccine, while the U.S. has secured enough to protect its entire population of 330 million people and still have more than 500 million doses left over. The U.S. also has been criticized for its plan to provide booster shots for older Americans and those with underlying conditions, despite calls from the World Health Organization that wealthy nations instead give extra doses to countries with low vaccination rates. The administration says it can give boosters and help vaccinate the world, but the goal will depend on a robust vaccine manufacturing capacity. Patsy Wiedekuswara, VOA News at the White House.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, Thailand ramps up vaccinations ahead of a planned reopening. Happening now in Asia, 47 Hong Kong pro-democracy activists charged under the Beijing-imposed national security law appeared in court Thursday morning, with most having been detained since March. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Thailand's COVID-19 vaccination rate currently stands at less than 25% of the population, as the government says it is ramping up inoculations ahead of a planned reopening of several key tourist regions. Chiang Mai and its surrounding areas in the northern part of the country are among the locations included in the plan to reopen by October 15th. Steve Sanford visited Chiang Mai and has this report for VOA.
Here in the remote Thai village of Taphong, residents welcomed the arrival of the long-awaited vaccination rollout plan with mixed feelings. Many in the crowd are leery of receiving the two shots, which include China's Sinovac biotech COVID-19 vaccine and Indian-made AstraZeneca vaccine, as reports of serious side effects and low efficacy rates circulate in the media. At the start of the pandemic, Thai health officials credited the strict lockdowns and mask mandates for keeping cases low, a practice that continues today. As the pandemic spread in the urban centers, however, there was disproportionate distribution of vaccines, at least in the initial stages, giving added momentum to anti-government protest critical of the pandemic response, and even demanding the resignation of the prime minister. Meanwhile, in Chiang Mai, tourist-related businesses are scrambling to vaccinate staff to meet the government's new tourism health guidelines. Thailand's tourism authority requires 100% staff vaccination for businesses to qualify and get included in international traveler packages for foreign visitors, beginning in November. But Dom Umpapantawang, who opened his second hotel before the pandemic, is currently just at 50% staff inoculations and keen to speed things up.
Whatever vaccine we get right now, whether it's Sinovac or Sinopharm, this is our first vaccine for our frontline staff before we go for our second shot in the future.
As the high season approaches, when many travel businesses make the most profit, the rush to safely and quickly meet international health standards continues across the country. Steve Sanford for VOA News, Chiang Mai, Thailand.
Finally on VOA Asia, Women Giving Back is a nonprofit in the U.S. state of Virginia that helps women and children who are undergoing financial hard times or who are struggling to start over after leaving abusive relationships. Maxim Moskalkov has the story.
It looks like a regular store. Clothing on the racks, shoes on display, jewelry, cosmetics, kids' toys, diapers, and much more. But what you don't see here are cash registers or salespeople. Everything in this boutique is free, thanks to Women Giving Back, a non-profit charity group in Sterling, Virginia, that has been helping women and children for the last 15 years. Terry Stadji, founder of Women Giving Back, started working in charity in early 2000s. Back then, her advertising agency worked closely with a non-profit that was building shelters for the homeless. At some point, the non-profit asked whether Stadji would be willing to become a member of their board of directors. All men at that time.
The men were doing the sticks and bricks. What could I empower all the women to do? And they said, without fail, we need clothing. So I was able to put a call out to the women in the industry, and they came out like women do, in full force.
At first, their work resembled a garage sale. Only it was held every month without fail. But soon the demand became so great they had to expand and find a permanent building that would become home for the nonprofit. The boutique has everything regular stores do: seasonal sales, Halloween-themed goods, fancy prom dresses, and school supplies. There are only 3 people on staff and over 4,000 volunteers helping out. Every customer can pick up to 50 items. Jen Haas is a former customer and a mother of 3 who faced domestic violence. Today, she is a Women Giving Back ambassador and an activist.
I do speaking engagements at local high schools. I also speak for other charitable organizations. I do donation drives out of my home.
Today, Women Giving Back is looking for a new building for its boutique because the one it has now is too small. And sadly, though, the wave of donations doesn't dry out, neither does the number of women and children who come here for help. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Sterling, Virginia.
Thank you for listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Doug Bernard, Amy Hybels, Keith Lane, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Chris Casquio in Washington. Enjoy your day.